Hello, and welcome to the Green Profit Academy Pros Podcast. This show digs into the challenges in growing a lawn care and landscape business while maximizing your profit. I'm Christine Era.
And I'm Steve Bousquet. We are the green industry experts in profit, growth, and leadership.
Hello, Christine. How are you doing today?
I am doing well today. We have a little snow on the ground, but you know, it's a Friday, so I really don't have to go anywhere.
Right. Friday. Nice. It's been an interesting week. I just was at the Connecticut Nursery and Landscape Association conference this week, and I was really happy to see how many people showed up and how much youth I see in the industry. And there was a lot of technology talk, but also old school talk about plant care and healthcare. And that was really interesting and really exciting to see how people are still excited about our industry.
Yeah, I definitely have missed going to some conferences. I always get energy when I'm around, you know, these people, and we start talking about the industry and what's possible and what other people are doing. And it just is so exciting to learn about, like, well, what's the focus and what's the conversation? And I'm missing a little bit of that connection with people in our industry and, you know, talking about what's possible.
Yeah, we had some really good conversations. In today's episode on the podcast, we're going to be diving deep into the Profit First Advanced Methods. We have utilized and implemented advanced methods that have permanently and positively changed the course of businesses for good. In the last episode, we talked about Profit First Basics. And if you have not listened to the Profit First Basics podcast, go back and listen to that. I strongly recommend that. That will give you the kind of jumping off point information to let you catch up with today's podcast.
Yeah, the basics are always great to get a little refresher, because no matter how long you've been doing Profit First, there could be little pieces, you know, that you forget about. I also love how in working with our clients, and I was talking about this the other day, is when they're implementing Profit First, and if they change anything that's around the basics, they'll show up on the call and go instantly, you know, say, well, I'm not doing this right. I just need to let you know. And it's something that we need to fix. Or, you know, so they are still connecting with the basics, which has supported their advanced methods that they have put into place. And those have really, you know, helped their growth.
Yeah. And, you know, getting back to basics is where everything really starts. And that's how you win. You have to do the basics really well first before we start moving into the advanced anything, regardless of what the activity is. You know, even in landscape design or lawn care, you want to make sure, you know, we're getting the right nutrients and products down at the right time. The pHs are where we need them to be. We're, you know, installing our grass at the right time of the year. So just sticking to the basics will get you pretty far. And then once you've got them down really well, then you can start tweaking things and going into the advanced levels. It took me probably 3 years of just working with the basics before we moved into the advanced methods. So we kind of learned, you know, hands-on and over a three-year period, my 1,000-day concept. You know, things take really about 1,000 days to fully implement and get them to the point where then you can try to go to the advanced levels.
Yeah, and I have found too, I love that three-year concept, because as companies are implementing Profit First, it's the baby steps that they put into place. You know, it's typically like one account by one account. And then once they get them all opened, you know, we figure out like, okay, what allocations do we need to make? What does this look like? So we approach it strategically. And then over time, you know, some little things fall out of place. And then they're like, well, what do I do? Like, how do I get, I know we're not doing this right, or this is showing us this, what do we do? And so it allows you that time and space to make those changes and really get that solid Profit First foundation under you. And I know in the book, I said a few times, like, you know, we have to be able to, you know, crawl before we can walk and walk before we can run. And one of the mistakes that I've seen with implementing Profit First is they want to do Profit First advanced methods out the gate. They want to hit their target allocations out the gate. And there is a reason why there's the basics of profit first. And there's a reason why we have, you know, current allocations so we can move to our target allocations. So there's, you know, a rhyme and reason for all of this and, you know, easing into it and making sure it's successful.
Yeah. And just that first step of, you know, opening up a profit account can be a big deal for a lot of people. You know, I remember when we opened up our first account, the profit account, and started putting that 1% in and then seeing that grow. And that really encouraged us to continue forward with the rest of the accounts. I mean, we opened up the income account and then the profit account. And then, you know, about every other quarter, we would start another account. And kind of get our legs underneath us and understand the whole rhythm of profit first. So it does take a little bit of time. Like I say, profit first is, it's simple, but not easy. And so taking your time to do it and getting the basics down is so important.
Yeah. So I want to talk about a little bit about like what advanced methods are. And, you know, what these look like. And we, again, we talked about the basic methods of the profit first system, and they're the foundation for improving your profitability and setting yourself up for strategic growth. So, you know, they're really your pillars that you want to get into place. So then you have some solid ground to stand on. And then the advanced methods, they go a step further. So they're helping you identify and eliminate the bleeds in your business and support healthy growth. So they prevent financial setbacks that you might have. They help support you and get you in a place to where you're not experiencing that cash crunch anymore as you push towards that next phase of growth. So that's what the advanced methods are really there for, is to implement some more accounts that support what you need in your business and where the clarity isn't happening.
And just to kind of briefly go over the basic accounts, the first account we're going to have is an income account where all the money goes into. And then we're going to start with our profit account, a tax account, an owner's compensation account, and then an OPEX or operating account. Those are the basic accounts that we're going to start with.
Yeah. And in the book, we talk about having a materials and subs account in between that, which we did not talk about on our last episode because we really wanted to keep it back to the basics of profit first. But in the Lawn and Landscape book, businesses book, we talk about having that materials and subs because it is such a huge part and huge cost in this industry that we want to be intentional to set those aside. So that might be one that you're going, well, where do, you know, you guys have talked about this account, you know, where are you placing this account now? That is one that is just for the Lawn and Landscape profit first, you know, in that book where I talk about that. So we haven't forgotten about that account. Materials and subs is there in what we consider a basic account for this industry or any trade industry, really. And but the basics of profit first do not include the materials and subs account. So,
right. And typically, because anytime we have an expense that exceeds about 20% of our total revenue, that's when we start looking at profit first advanced methods. We want to have an account that exceeds 20% of total revenue as its own account. So often, especially if you're doing landscape insulation, you know, your materials are going to be about 22 to 25% of your total revenue. So we want to make sure that we have a materials and subcontractors account set up. So in Profit First for Lawn Care Landscape, you know, that in the Profit First Lawn Care and Landscape Businesses book, you know, that's how we're breaking that out. And now if you're mostly a lawn mowing company, you know, maybe you do a little bit of mulch in the spring, but your materials and maybe you don't have subs is going to be maybe 3 to 5%. Then you can look in the book and that will give you the graph and the charts and kind of how you would break that out. But for most lawn care and landscape businesses, you're definitely going to, the first account after the basic ones that I brought up first would be your materials and sub account.
Right. And I start talking about the advanced methods in chapter 6 of the book. And I actually spend a couple chapters unpacking these because there's, there's a lot to it and it can get complicated. So again, I wanted to baby step it. So these advanced methods help you customize your toolbox in your business. That's what they're meant for. So you can use them to manage your profit allocation percentages. So you might need, you know, additional accounts based off of your business model. And what you're doing is you're being more intentional, just strictly intentional about allocating these funds for specific use in your business. And one of the things I always think of that was shared long ago with a longstanding team member at Profit First headquarters, Aaron says, you know, when in doubt, open an account. And I loved that concept because it really gives us this permission to where we're struggling with an expense in our business. It's okay just to open that account and allocate funds to it because it's going to give us the clarity that we need to understand what problems we might be having. And maybe it looks like a problem, you know, with payroll, and you can open like a payroll account, but then you realize, oh, you know, it's not so much with payroll. It has to do with, you know, how our crew size, you know, so that's going to impact payroll, or it has to do with like the efficiency of the company. Hey, that's going to impact payroll too. So it really gives you that clarity. So you can pick and choose what advanced methods best work for you in your business. And that's why I love the advanced methods. It's where you can actually turn profit first into that, you know, a la carte, like, well, I want this account or I want that account. The basics, you don't want to do that. But with the advanced methods, you can absolutely do that because it's going to provide that clarity that you might be lacking.
And one of the things that once we do the basics, the income, profit, tax, owner's comp, and OPEX, you know, the very next one you want to open is the materials and subs. And then the next one, which is typically going to be the next largest expense in the company, is going to be your payroll account. And so then you also have to figure out, you know, how to allocate this. And we'll put in the show notes a way to get some tools to go through and do your profit first percentage allocations. But when you have the materials and subs and then the payroll account, what's nice, you get your percentages dialed in, the money's always there. So when it's time to go pay, you know, the materials and subs, the money's there. So you're not robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're not chasing money. And then also with the payroll, you know, as you have big months, like we'll have really big months in the spring and midsummer, you know, that percentage is always going into the payroll account. So then when it slows down in November, December, the money's already there. You know, we're not looking at all of our money in one account and then trying to do the math in our head of what we can pay, when, who, how. Profit First just takes all that, lays it out in such a clear way. It's just like, you know, our toolbox, right? One drawer has screwdriver. One drawer has the wrenches. One drawer has the hammers. We don't just throw everything in one like bucket. Well, maybe some people do. They're going to spend a lot of time and a lot of effort chasing down wrenches, sockets, hammers, screwdrivers. You know, having it all broken out just makes us more efficient. And there's so much that we have to do as a business owner, dealing with clients, dealing with vendors, selling, recruiting, training. And we don't want to spend our time trying to juggle and figure out the money. It's better to set it up front. I've found it makes so much clarity and it takes so much pressure off myself to do that. So the material and sub and the profit account. And then the next account that we found was super helpful was our equipment account. We initially set up the equipment payments. And that was easy to do because we knew what the payments were going to be. So we knew what percentage that was going to be of revenue. But then every time it came to make our payments, the money was already there.
Right. Yeah. And in chapter 8, I took the scalable growth business model. It was a concept that I had been working on for many years because we would always get asked from business owners, how much should I spend on payroll? Well, how much should I spend on my office team? How much should I spend on my field team? How much should I spend on equipment? It was like, how much should I spend? How much should I spend? So this question of what's the right amount. So in chapter 8, I dive into the scalable growth business model, which really supports the advanced methods. And it also outlines the specific accounts that you should have you know, for your business model, depending on your business model. And it also gives you the current allocation percentages. It gives you the target allocation percentages, and it gives you the structure that really supports your business. So that's a great, you know, chapter to review, to dig in deeper. And the scalable growth business model, this tool is meant to help you scale and grow your company through revenue tiers. So it helps you know how much is a healthy percentage that I should be spending in each one of these categories. And it allows you to gear those percentages up and down while keeping a healthy gross profit margin in your business, because you are going to have to spend a little bit more as you're moving from one revenue tier to another. So it's kind of like the struggle of, you know, jumping over this gap and going, okay, we're going to move, you know, from this revenue tier to this revenue tier. That means we're going to have to add a new crew or a new route, and this is going to be the cost. So it really gives you, those guidelines to move from the, you know, one revenue tier to another while staying healthy financially. And it utilizes the profit first methodology. So you already know it. You're just using it in the advanced account process.
Yeah. And chapter 8, the scalable growth business model, you know, it's literally the only model in the entire green industry that shows you at every level what you should be spending on payroll, material, what the owner should get paid. I think that's one of the biggest questions I see, you know, on Facebook and the social. How much should I be paying myself as the owner? How much, if I'm working in the field and running the business, how much should I get paid? What if I'm only working in the field, and because my business is like, it's all referral. It's just me and one other person. What should I get paid then? What if it's $2.5 million and I'm not working the field at all? What should I get paid? And what should I be spending on admin and on all these questions? And it's answered right there. There's, you know, scales depending on the maturity of the business. So a new business, it might be a little bit of different, but we have ranges in that chapter 8. And I think, you know, Christine and I were at a business retreat, and this question came up was, you know, what if we knew how much everything was going to be at every stage and when we needed to do certain things. Like in chapter 8, it kind of says, now's the time to hire a salesperson. You can't sell X past that. You need to run the company. So it's in that. And I remember somebody shared with me that that question kept him up half the night. And then I know Christine had been working on that, and she, now it's developed and it's there. So, you know, if you ever have these questions of what should my business be spending, what should I be getting paid? It's right there in chapter 8.
So we noted down some advanced accounts that we want to go over with you, and we have them in the book. Like, they're listed in the book, and I explain each one of these accounts and, you know, how they're supposed to be used, and even give you some insight on how to set them up. One of the accounts that came up during, you know, just learning more about the lawn and landscape industry and fixing problems and businesses that were trying to implement profit first and going, hey, I don't understand my cash flow. Like, you know, why do we have all this money here and not here? And, you know, it's just wreaking havoc. So one of the accounts that we talked about was setting up was prepayments. And these could be for prepaid services. It could be for prepaid materials. And the idea is to set your prepayments aside and only, you know, put them back into the business. So cycle that cash back into the business when you're delivering those services, you know, or you need to buy those materials, right, to prepare for the launch of your season, or, you know, to prepare for that landscape job that you're going to be performing. And this was really breaking the bank for some of these businesses, because they would take money that clients were prepaying them, whether it was a deposit on a landscape job for materials and services, or it was lawn care service applications or maintenance. And they would get that money at the end of a season to launch their next season. And then they would spend it all. And then they would have nothing, you know, to use. They'd have this small little portion of the people who didn't prepay to use that money to function off of and run their business, because they spent everything that was in the bank.
Yeah. So how that looks and how that plays out is a lot of like lawn care or lawn application companies, they offer a prepayment. So you pay up front for the full year, You get a 5%, 10% discount. It depends on what people are offering. So all that money would go into one account and they would just, you could spend it because you had the money, but you still had to do round 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, maybe even round 6, but you're just spending the money because it's coming in and there's no like intentional strategy for it. So with Profit First, as that money comes in, the prepayment goes into a prepayment account, right? So it's money that we've been prepaid. It's not money we prepaid. It's money that's been given to us. It's basically really like a loan. So it's a liability on your balance sheet. We owe those services to the customer. And with us, you know, we put that in our prepayment account. And if someone sells their house or if they cancel for some reason that like they're like, okay, you can prepay, but if you don't sell your house, we'll send your money back, right? We owe them the money. We either owe them the money or the service. So the prepayment money goes into that prepayment account. Then as we're doing the work, like round one, we're taking money out, round two, and we'll take that money out weekly once we start production to cover, you know, the payroll and the material that was used that week. And then we're just moving it from the prepayment account into our income account. And then once it's in our income account, we're going to run it through our Profit First calculator.
Right. And how you determine the percentage of whether it's your prepaid services or prepaid material, it's pretty much treated the same way, right? You move it when the services get delivered, or you move the money when you go to buy the materials. So that is determined. You could either do, depending on how your system is set up, by a percentage of income. So you could look at, well, how much do people prepay and what's the percentage of, you know, our total annual revenue, and you can figure out that way, or you can base it off of items. If you have a system that is set up and you can run a report that will show you how much that week you received in prepaid income or prepaid materials, you just move that amount right over into that holding account. And then when you go to use it, you're all ready to move it back.
And there is one nice thing about the prepayment accounts. You know, we're going to put it into an interest-bearing account. So we are going to make 5% on that money until we're taking it back out. So it used to be like a tenth of a percent, but now you can find banks that will give you, you know, anywhere depending on the balance between 3.5% to 5.5% on that money. So you do get a little bit of return by having that money in the bank.
All right. So the next account, we kind of touched on this a little bit already, was materials and subcontractors. And this is very common for this industry, for the lawn and landscape, or any trade industry that's doing some sort of contracting work, right? Because we all have materials and then we'll have subcontractors. You know, maybe you subcontract out your maintenance. I know lawn care companies that do that. They just do application and they'll go, okay, you know, we'll sub out the maintenance for you so they can provide it to their customers. There might be, you know, landscape construction, to where maybe you guys don't lay patio, but you have a contractor who does do beautiful patio and it's better for you to sub it out. So all the funds that you need to pay for your materials and subcontractors get allocated to the materials and subs account from the income account. And this is different than your prepaid materials. Like, you're not going to, you know, take your prepaid materials and put it into this account when you receive the money. If you have a prepaid materials account, you'll move the money into this account. It won't go through your calculator. You'll move it into this account when you need to pay material bills, you know, so that's what it's used for. And the funds that are in the materials and subcontractors account are used to pay the bills for your material invoices and for your subcontractor services. So that's what it's there for. And this can be easily set up as a checking account. You can have a credit or debit card attached to it, so you can use it that way. You can also, if you're using QuickBooks, you can send a check through QuickBooks saying, hey, use the materials and sub account. We have so many clients that do that. Makes it very easy. And you can also use this account. Let's say you have a materials or subcontractor's credit card. and that's all you're using it for, you can use this account to pay that as well. So the percentage on this account, the allocation percentage, is determined by the amount of materials and subcontractors that you pay out compared to your total revenue. So you're going, okay, how much should we pay out in this? What's our revenue? There's your percentage.
And one of the interesting things, a few years ago, I think it was 2018, I did a survey with all my vendors asking them questions about what's the biggest thing that we impact you on? Like, is it frequent purchases? Is it giving you referrals? Is it paying on time? Is it like ordering ahead of time, like making sure that, you know, we're giving you lots of notice of when we're going to need things. And the number one thing, it was a little over 70% of the people said paying on time. The vendors getting paid on time, it has the biggest impact on their business than anything else, because if they get lots of orders, but you're always 90 to 120 days behind, they have to pay that. So Profit First allows us to make all those payments on time, be a good, partner with our vendors and pay them on time so they can pay all their people and all their bills on time. So that's the most important thing to being a good partner with our vendors, is getting, you know, having them paid on time. Profit First just completely allows for that relationship. And, you know, when we have events and we invite partners and our vendors to our celebrations, our anniversary parties, you know, they show up, they feel like they're part of our family. They feel like they're part of our team. And so they support us like that. And it's really getting paid on time is the number one. It's the number one thing.
Yeah. And you could also use that account as you build it up and you're using it correctly to pre-order your materials and pay for them as well. So when you're being intentional, it gives you that those funds in the place where you need them, to where you could pre-order and get discounts ordering in bulk. And we're just reviewing a client's financials just this last week in a group call. And one of the things that came up was we saw this huge savings on not only his freight, but also his materials. And I said, hey, I go, tell me about this. Like, give me some insight. What's causing this large amount of savings that from last year to this year? And he just kind of chuckled and he said, well, we're pre-ordering our materials in bulk. So we're saving on freight and we're getting a better deal on it. And it was a significant amount of money that they were saving from last, you know, the prior year to this year. And so I was really happy to see that process, they implemented it and they're really reaping the benefits.
Yeah, having that prepayment in the accounts, and then so you can prepay your vendors if you're ordering it. You know, if you're getting, there's a lot of early order discount programs in the lawn care industry. And if you can early order and early take delivery, you can save even more. It allows you to buy in bulk, and that's when you're going to get the biggest discounts. So, you know, we're bought already. It's the first month of the year. It's January, but we were bought by November of 2023 for the entire year of 2024. And we have our deliveries coming in. And as this comes in, we can make the payments because we get prepayments and we have that allocated correctly. And it just allows us to, you know, it could be up to a 30% savings from if you're going in and you're buying it, you know, onesies or one pallets at a time. It might even be more than 30% if you're waiting until April 1st or the first or second week of April to go buy your fertilizer and pre-emergence, as opposed to buying it ahead of time. And then it's such a time saving if you have the ability to store it. You know, we do have forklifts. So, I mean, it's here. You're not waiting for deliveries. You're not chasing anything. And that allows us to deliver all our applications on time. You know, we're never behind because we're waiting for material.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Look no further than the Green Profit Academy Business Accelerator Kickstarter Workshop. In 7 weeks, you'll learn the critical skills necessary to define and achieve your goals, including developing a mission, vision, and purpose. You'll also explore immutable laws, benchmarks, goal setting, and create your very own strategic business plan. With this comprehensive program, you'll be able to set achievable goals and develop a roadmap for success,
accelerate your business growth, meet your objectives, and achieve long-term sustainability. Go to growgpa.com/GBAKW to sign up for our GPA Business Accelerator Kickstarter workshop today. Again, that's growgpa.com/GBAKW. Use promo code GBAKW100 to receive $100 off the workshop today.
So the next account I'm going to talk about is the sales tax account. And so sales tax is collected by you on behalf of, you know, your location, like your district, you know, wherever you're located, your city. So this is a local agency where you're obligated to pay sales tax. So the sales tax you collect, you're obligated to pay. If you don't, you don't want to know these people. They're not fun to deal with. I've been through sales tax audits in the past. They are not fun to do. So you always want to make sure, one, that you have your sales tax process set up properly. And what I have learned working in this industry, coaching and supporting clients all over the U.S., is your state and your district can have different rules for sales tax. And some of these rules could be based off of how you invoice, right? If you itemize your invoices, you have to pay sales tax. If you don't itemize them, then you don't have to pay sales tax. So I always advise, make sure you understand, or you're working with an accounting professional who understands and will do their due diligence to make sure that your sales tax process is set up to benefit you, and they go over those options. And then you can properly collect the sales tax and then pay the agency so you have no headaches. So anytime you collect it, you have to look at it as like a pass-through holding account. You put your sales tax that you collect in this account, and then you pay this out to the local district, so the local agency, your local sales tax agency. You never want to treat these as income, because they're not income. It is a liability. It is not your money. So you're going to collect it and you're going to pass it on. And you know, you might already have an accounting system that tracks this for you for your sales tax liability. If you do, it's going to be extremely easy for you to figure out how much funds do I put in this account, because you could simply run a report. Or one of the things that we do with our clients is it varies. So we'll do an estimated percentage and we will true it up every quarter. Typically, the account's being a little overfunded, and you know, we can easily true it up. But they know the money's there to pay their local agency, and it's not a headache.
Yes, sales tax is not something you ever want to fool around with. Take care of that. It's so important. Any kind of penalties or interest, and the headache of being audited. And if they audit you once and they find lots of discrepancies, you're most likely going to get audited again. If you do get audited and they have to like search, unpack to find a few here and there, then you're most likely going to get audited way less. So, but make sure that you take care of that. It's not our money, right? We're collecting it. We're non-paid tax collectors. So we have the privilege of collecting the tax for our state and passing it on to them. And if we mess up, we get penalized. So make sure that you're doing that 100% on board. The next one, or above board, the next one is payroll, the payroll account, which is like one of, I'm smiling just talking about this, because we implemented our payroll and we had the percentages dialed in. It totally just took so much worry off of my plate. You know, I don't have to lay awake at 2 o'clock at night going, oh man, are we going to have enough payroll? We always have enough for payroll. We always have enough for the payroll taxes. This has just been the best account to, besides my profit account, the best account that's really impacted me as a business owner.
Yeah. And depending on how your business is structured, so this account should include all your employee benefits. It should include, if you have an IRA or a 401k contribution, those funds should come out of there, you know, plus any payroll taxes, because you never want to pay your payroll taxes late. There are fees and, you know, penalties attached to them. So you always want to file your forms and pay your payroll taxes on time. Those come out of there. So your employee's payroll taxes, which is the employer portion of payroll. So, you know, all of your payroll and employee costs combined come out of this payroll account. So, you know, it could even be your workers' comp insurance. So what are the things that support your people in producing and getting paid in your business? So you can set it up to where your percentages align with this. And the percentage for this account, it's determined by the amount of payroll expenses with wages, taxes, all the other goodies that you pay out based on your overall income.
And this includes your field and your office and your mechanic. This does not include owner's compensation. So the owner is not paid out of the payroll. That is comes out of owner's comp. The taxes for the owner's pay come out of the tax account. The taxes for payroll for your team, your employees, office, field, and mechanics come out of the payroll account. So we want to make sure that we're keeping those clear and separate.
Right.
The next one is marketing. And one of the reasons that marketing for us was so important was because, you know, we're going to have about 90% of our marketing spend in about 12 to 16 week period over the year. So we were kind of coming up with a money pinch because, or a cash flow pinch, because we did not have a very specific account for that. So all of a sudden we had all this outlay over a 3 to 4 month period. And then, we were dipping deep into the OPEX account and it was like putting a little stress on it. So then we you know, when in doubt, open an account. So we opened up a marketing account, which is funded all year round. And then in the spring, when we go to do our marketing, the money's there. It's been being allocated the entirety of the year, as opposed to dipping into the OPEX account just in the spring.
Yeah. And I love that idea. It's what you said, Steve, is we save up all year. And then when the spring rolls around, you know, we pay out our marketing expenses. And that's what I call being in front of the profit first system. And several businesses, when they start implementing profit first, they'll go, well, I'm funding these accounts and, you know, there's just not enough money there. There's not enough, you know, we're a little short. We're a little short here. We're a little short there. And that's what I call being behind the profit first system, right? To where it's like, we've got to work on closing that gap and finding, you know, identifying opportunities, implementing strategies that can help you close that gap. And that's why I think it's really good to work with a profit first professional who has strategies that can help you identify things in your business that you don't see so you can close that gap, because we want to get in front of the system sooner than later. And the fact that your business has gotten to the point where you can save up all year and then you're basically paying for this next season marketing, which is a beautiful thing. So you always want to make sure you also track your ROI on your marketing to ensure your marketing has a return on investment. So what is it giving to you? Where are you investing those funds? Is it giving you what you need? So that's important, so you can switch up your strategy when it comes to your marketing plan.
And one of the terms I came up with is bank balance marketing. So it's where we market, we do our marketing and advertising based on our bank balance instead of being strategic and really focusing on the highest ROI. You know, I had a conversation with someone a few weeks ago. We were talking about his marketing program. And he was like, I could do this and that. Those are really cheap. They're really inexpensive. And I was like, well, is it inexpensive if we don't get the return on investment? It could be, you know, if you're spending any amount of money and not measuring the return on investment, we don't know the cost. So cheap could be really expensive. It could be literally throwing money down the drain. I think it was like a Val pack. It was like $300 or $400. But I'm like, you know, have you ever done it? What's the measurement? What's the, you know, audience or whatever the advertising or marketing is? We want to make sure that we're looking at things regardless of social media, print, you know, internet, email, whatever it is, radio. We want to make sure that we're getting a return on investment.
So your marketing percentage allocation, it's based on, again, how much are you spending on marketing and what is the, you know, your total revenue. And a good rule of thumb, because we get asked this all the time too, is what should I spend on marketing? How much of my revenue should I spend on marketing? So basically you want to spend from the B2B companies around 2-5%. And the B2C companies, the proportion is a bit higher, between 5-10%.
And one of the things, and I just heard this yesterday at the Connecticut Nursery and Landscape Association, that like someone is like, we don't do any marketing, we don't do any advertising, and we just, you know, take the referrals and everything. And then the guy was sharing how much driving that created, because he's getting all these referrals from all the friends and family. So it's created where his market went from being about 20 minutes from his shop to it's like over an hour away from his shop. Because he wasn't doing marketing to a specific location in a specific driving area. So he's like, it was not my position to jump into that conversation, but I was listening. I'm like, you know, we want to drive, we want to control and aim our marketing in a market. So that's one of the challenges with solely relying on word of mouth, is you don't control where it's coming from. So it widened this guy's market up, and he's doing a lot more driving than he would like, just because he's not done any marketing. So it is good to wave that I haven't done any marketing or advertising and my business has grown, but you're also going to pay the price for that, because you don't have any control or influence over the location of where your business is coming from.
Right. And that falls into what we call lost opportunity cost. So it's costing you more to have those customers outside of your service area than it would be if you actually spent money on your marketing and, you know, were intentional about getting customers in your service area. All right. So the next advanced account is equipment. And when I wrote the book, this was a pretty big topic. I know that everyone in this industry, they love to talk about equipment. They love equipment. They typically have way too much equipment. And there are several tools that support this topic and spend and management in the book. We have even more in the membership toolbox that are done for you, you know, workbooks, so you can gain clarity. So the purpose of this account is to set aside funds for your equipment. So you're going to fund an estimated cost along with, you know, leases, insurance, repairs, fuel, maintenance. So it can include those things. And you look at it from a percentage of your total revenue, right? How much are you spending on your equipment? How much is your total revenue? And then you'll get your percentage, which is given to you in an advanced profit first assessment, which we'll include the link in this podcast, in our podcast notes, so that way you can find it. And equipment costs usually run from 8-15% of your total revenue. And then you might experience an additional 3-5% on top of that if you rent snow equipment, because as we've talked about before, snow can be an expensive, you know, equipment and service to provide.
And it's interesting, you know, now that I've been doing Profit First for a long time, we have our equipment account. Our percentage is about 17%, and that includes all the insurances, the repairs, all the fuel, the payments, down payments, all the big equipment, small equipment. And it's interesting that it stays the same as our fleet ages. So we're only putting about 7,000 miles a year on a truck. So we'll have trucks that are like 10 years old with 70,000 miles on them. But our payments are decreasing. Our monthly payments have gone down, but our repairs have increased, but our percentage is staying the same. So it's interesting to see, you know, and even though like taxes on an older truck are less, repairs are more. But one of the things that percentage doesn't really show is the downtime. Like, how often is that truck or that piece of equipment out of service? How often are we not producing revenue with that piece of equipment because we're fixing it? So that's one of the things that we're tracking now, more directly, how much it's out of service time, how much are we not being able to bill it during the year. So even though the percentages stay the same, you know, we're going to see what the story is on the downtime. on some of the trucks, it's interesting. They're still only in a maintenance mode. So even though we're spending a little bit more, it's just because they're wear items. And they're going through batteries now, or they're going through their, you know, third set of tires, and they need brakes, right? They didn't need brakes when they were brand new. So there's going to be a little bit of wear, but it's going to be interesting to see what the tracking with the downtime is. So having all that really specifically in your equipment, because most of the time when we start working with a lot of our clients, we find one of their overspends, and it could be significant. It was, you know, before I was kind of financially aware of my percentages, way too much money on equipment. We always needed stuff. And, you know, having the Profit First system in place, I found that even my team, my managers, they need, you know, need way less stuff.
Yeah. And again, in the toolbox, the membership toolbox, we have workbooks in there that can help you forecast your equipment needs. I've done some webinars on them in our team mastermind to talk about that. I've done it a couple times, and there is a recording of that in the membership toolbox.
And before we go on to the next one, I want, you know, we had a podcast with Danny about renting. And, you know, one of the things that's nice about renting, especially in the snow business, is there seasonal rentals. So maybe you buy the push box, but you rent or lease that, you know, loader or skid steer just for those 4 or 5 months. It's a direct cost to that job. It doesn't go on your balance sheet. So that's another way. So if you have not listened to that rental podcast that I did with Danny, I would totally recommend listening to that. There's a ton of great information there to help manage equipment costs.
Yeah, I loved the insight that that podcast brought, because it's, you know, you don't think about all the stuff that he shared, but he lives and breathes the equipment rental and understands how it is to work with trade companies and, you know, the problems that they have. So definitely a great episode to listen to. All right. So the down season, flex season, or vulnerability season account. And this was something, you know, again, that came up when I was doing my research on the book and talking to all these business owners about what are challenges. And so what is this account? So it's an account that you fund throughout the year. It allows you to plan ahead and thrive in your winter season or during your slow season, which we call the flex season, because nobody says, they always say, I don't want to say I'm slow. We're just, you know, the business is flexing. So it's here and it's there. And then, you know, if something, if you do live in an area where you have a seasonal vulnerability to where maybe there's flooding or there's hurricanes or there's tornadoes, things like that, I track weather quite a bit. And I know that we've had, you know, increased weather, and the storms and that we're getting hit with now are so much more intense than they ever have been. So it allows you to be intentional of saving these funds without creating additional debt in the business or pulling out, you know, money from your line of credit, or even having to plow back your profit or your own savings or your retirement back in your business because, you know, you're going through a major cash crunch or has been hit hard. So to use this account, you calculate what you need to manage your business during that time. So that down season or that flex season, it could be, you know, a couple of months. Depending on your business model, you might have a slower season during the summer because your snow generates so much revenue. You might shut down during the winter time because you don't provide snow services. So you're looking at how much do we need for the business to function? Like, what's that gap? And then you intentionally start putting that percentage away in these accounts, you know, throughout the year, right? When you're really making money.
And this account can really help with that flex season. Like in the spring, we have more startup costs than, you know, it would always pinch us in the spring. And now that we have the flex season, it's still a little bit of a pinch, but it definitely takes the sting out of it with that flex season account. And it doesn't hurt as much because we can dip into that knowing that we're going to have all these startup costs over a 2 to 3 week period before the cash could catch back up when we weren't doing Profit First. Now the cash is always there. So we don't, you know, feel that pinch nearly as intense as we did before. So definitely having that, you know, there's two places that we end up using our like flex season account. It's kind of at toward the very end of the season. And then we also use it at the very beginning of the season. So it's become very helpful and it takes the stress out. And one of the things in our notes here, without creating debt, right? So I love that term because a lot of people say, well, I'll just go into my line of credit. But what if you don't have to? What if we don't have to owe the bank X amount plus 9%? What if we don't have to go into debt to run our businesses, right? What if we're self-reliant, self-sustainable? That's kind of where we want to be. It's much more comfortable that we don't have to rely on the bank and that line of credit.
Yeah. All right. The next one is the vault. And I'm sure if you have dove into Profit First at all, you have thought about the vault. You've heard about the vault. So the vault account allows your business to squirrel away money and cash over time above the funds that you need for your business. So, you know, your basic expenses from your payroll, materials, equipment, OpEx, you're intentionally putting this money away. So, you know, it's never a bad idea, and we've talked about this so many times, to have that cushion, because it's not about, you know, when things, you know, are going to hit you. It's, you know, it's about, you know, it's going to happen whether you want it or not, or you're expecting it or not. It's like everybody's going to have a bad day. So the vault is used for short-term emergencies. Typically, businesses should have about 3 months. So it's one quarter of operating expenses, which, you know, you would include your payroll and other things as a reserve. The allocation is dependent on, you know, the 3 months of your overall expenses. Businesses will use their profit hold account for their vault. So as they're getting started, that 50% of that profit that they're tucking away, they also say, this is our vault for right now. This is our vault. As you continue to scale and grow your company, you might be able to create, you know, a different vault that is not the profit hold account. So, you know, some companies have many vaults. We have clients where they're like, well, I have 1 month of payroll and I have 1 month of equipment and 1 month of operating expenses. So it's intentional, you know, where they're saving their money up. And the other thing that we have in our toolbox, which I love because it was not something that existed, is the vault rules of engagement. So how do you, you know, manage the funds that you take out of the vault? And what are the rules around them? So you're not violating the vault and just taking money out. There's rules and purposes, and then, you know, of what you're going to use that money for. And then there's also, how are we going to put it back? And it's not just on you as the business owner. I love, you know, this outline because it's you and your team that are taking responsibility for when you dip into this and how you put it back into the vault.
Yeah. And this, the vault is not the piggy bank for when the owner of the business wants to go buy a new Jeep or go on a super double expensive fancy vacation. You know, and as much as I love Disney, it is an expensive vacation. And if you're going to go on a Disney vacation, save up for with your own income. Don't use the business's vault to pay for that, so you can be the hero to your kids and your spouse. That it might feel good at that moment, but it's really not managing the business and your expenses the best way. So, you know, or a fancy trip to Europe, you know, or to wherever you're going, you know, save up for that. Be intentional about that. Don't dip into the vault. It's not your personal ATM machine. And, you know, we have vault rules of engagement, and I've wanted to use it. And I've had to sit down with my office manager, go, okay, what's the money? These are the rules of engagement. Nope, I can't use it. So we're going to have to put that on hold, or, you know, we're going to have to come up with another way to fund that using our proper percentages. So it's a little bit of an interesting thing. And the reason I brought up the vacation is because between equipment and vacations, that's where people want to dip into the vault. It's not like to buy a new piece of equipment typically. It's that is going to be helpful. It's like the new shiny thing that they want to get, the new Tesla truck or their new Jeep for $65,000 for their sales vehicle. We don't, that's not, you know, that's part of the rules of engagement for the vault. So be intentional with that, because it's so hard to save this money up. You really, it's what's protecting your business. Like Christine said, it's not if something is going to go wrong or happen, if your business has been around for a while, it's just when. And again, some people say, well, I'll just use my line of credit or I'll use my credit card. But if you can be your own line of credit or your own credit card, you don't have to go to the bank begging. And also, banks don't like to lend a lot of money out if your balance sheet is upside down or your business isn't doing well.
Right. So the next account, and I like this one, it's prepaid expenses. And these are not, you know, prepaid where people are giving you money, right? It's where you want to give somebody else money. You're paying for expenses in advance. So the prepaid expenses account, it's going to be dependent on your business and things that you might be prepaying in your company. So you might be able to save money on these expenses. You might be paying out, let's say, an insurance policy every quarter. That's, you know, prepaid expenses. It might be the insurance policy in advance for the entire year. And if you pay it in advance, you might get some sort of discount on it. And, you know, this is where it came up to where we're referring, you know, reviewing somebody's financials and they're like, well, we prepaid this, this, and this because we got a 15% discount. So the reason why we use this account is we're being intentional about putting maybe their membership dues, consulting fees. It could even be advertising, any sort of insurance. You're putting these funds away into a separate prepaid expense account for you to use them when it's time to pay these fees.
And the next account is a fun account, the growth fund, right? So if we want to grow our business, we want to expand, you know, we want to make sure that we have the money. So going into debt and to grow the business is really tough because we're already behind the eight ball. You know, we're already 8 or 10% behind if we're borrowing money to grow the business. So having a growth fund, the purpose of the growth fund is to be intentional about how much and what we spend on the growth of our company. We've seen business owners continue to invest in the company's growth without being mindful of the financial health. And it gets them in a really, really tough spot. I was one of them. I just was like, growth. Sales is going to get me there. But as I grew my company, it got me deeper and deeper in the hole.
Yeah. And this was something that came up while I was writing the book, working with a client that moves 150 miles an hour, you know, and his poor office manager was going, well, we're trying to implement profit first, but he's spending this and he's spending that. And we had to, you know, put some guardrails on this guy and say, okay, so we can fund the growth fund. If it's in the growth fund, then you can spend it on your growth. And that means hiring a new manager, buying a new truck, setting up, you know, new equipment, like whatever that is. And typically I suggest anywhere from about 2 to 6% allocation to this fund. You want to make sure your business can afford it. So that's the other thing. You can't put money in there that your business can't afford. So you've got to set it up to where if you are going to allocate to this fund, you can afford this fund. So sometimes our clients will start out with a 0.5% and then work up to 1%, and we will slowly roll this out.
Well, it's interesting. You can be a profitable company and not have any money because of your growth. So you can be highly profitable and absolutely broke because you're growing so fast that you're always buying every nickel plus some is going to the growth. So making sure that, you know, we're paying attention to that is very important. And there's been stories, you know, I've read a number of articles in some business books where companies actually grew themselves to death because of the debt. They couldn't handle the debt. So the debt is what kills some of these businesses. So having this growth fund sets you up where you're going to have that growth without having the exposure and the risk of the debt, because they grow in these, you know, you have these 1,000-day cycles of growth in business. If you study the stock market, you know, it's 1,000 days. Then they correct. then they takes about 1,000 days and they recorrect and it just keeps cycling. So you have this growth for 1,000 days and the market corrects. Now you don't have the revenue to support all the investment that you just spent growing, which was the fun time. And now you're in debt and then they can't make it past the next 1,000 days. So having this growth account sets you up for really, really solid growth in a responsible way without putting you and your family's future at risk.
Yeah. And in the book, I talk about there's a section in one of the later chapters where I say, what comes first, the pumpkin or the pig? And this is relating to the pumpkin plan strategies and the profit first methodologies. And we have worked with clients. And this is why I wrote this chapter, is because we've had people pumpkin plan themselves into needing profit first, and then have, you know, profit first themselves into implementing pumpkin plan. So, you know, that's why I wrote that chapter, is because it is an issue with small businesses to where they will spend so much on their growth that they spend themselves right out of business, like you said.
Yeah. Imagine that. You're doing all the right things and growing and growing and you're broke. You know, that's a horrible story to have. But happens. It definitely happens. All right. So how to get started with Profit First advanced methods, right? We recommend working with a Profit First professional, but really what we want to do is identify the right percentages and take the assessment. It's going to be available in the show notes to get to the toolbox. And you can also purchase that. You know, you can purchase that and you can we can go over that. Your results, a lot of times people will do that and I'll meet with them. We'll just kind of go over the assessment. Set up the bank accounts that you identify from your assessment. And then add these new accounts to your Profit First allocation calculator, which is free in the toolbox.
Yeah. And the scalable growth business model assessment is the one that we're talking about, because it asks you questions in that assessment that are related to the advanced accounts for your business model. So, you know, you're having to look at your profit and loss statement. You're having to look at your balance sheet statement, come up with some numbers. And the it is included in our membership toolbox, or you can purchase it as a one-off. I would say you'll get a bigger value out of the membership toolbox, because it comes with, you know, I want to say like 60 plus something tools. I've lost count because I keep adding things to the toolbox in different sections that support, you know, growth and the profit first methodologies.
Yes, take that assessment. That will help you. It creates a lot of questions and really allows us to look at the business and see the mindset behind it and the habits, and really being strategic with it. Because, you know, what's interesting is we're already spending the money. We're already, you know, having this issue of what to pay, when and where. Being more intentional about it just makes you like literally at the top of the business world, especially in the small business world. If you're implementing Profit First and you can have these kind of discussions, it puts you in the top 10% of all small businesses. It doesn't even matter whether it's even attorneys, even accountants, whether it's lawn care, landscape, any kind of small business, having that really strategic and intentional spend and focus of money, it's right at the top. It's the very best. And when we go to like the technology conference for lawn care and landscape industry, that's the top of the industry. And they're having these types of conversations. And at our retreat, you know, that we have in Tennessee in the fall, it's going to be in November this year. You know, those are the conversations that are around those tables, really intentional spending, intentional growth, and also the intentional development of their team. So if you can take the assessments, take the time, and you can step into a new level of business acumen.
Yeah. And I would share, while I was developing the scalable growth business model, I had some of my clients as guinea pigs for it, to where, you know, we were implementing it, we were doing the assessment, we were rolling out the strategies, all these things. And one of the clients that we, you know, implemented this with, he grew from a little under 2 million to over 10 million in growth with multiple locations in about 3 years. And it was the methodologies that him and his team were implementing along with the percentages that we are implementing from the scalable growth business model.
Yeah, that's impressive. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to today's podcast, and we look forward to you joining us on the next one.
Thanks for listening to the Green Profit Academy Pros Podcast,
the show that digs into the challenges of growing a lawn care and landscape business while maximizing your profit.